Oh, it's so dark in here, I can't see anything. Is anybody else here?
Yes,
thank you, that's much better. Oh, I've got light now. Alright, can you see me? Yep. Okay, good. So we find ourselves in a cave. And I'm not alone in here, there's others with me.
Hello!
Hi!
Social distancing is a little bit difficult in a cave. We're all cramped together. There's hardly any room to move at all. Stop shoving at the back.
No.
And this is the situation which King David found himself when he was thinking through the words of Psalm 57. The name of the cave is the Cave of Adullam, and you can read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 22. David is made anointed king over Israel by Samuel, but Saul is still on the throne and is hunting down his rival king. So David has taken refuge in this cave, hiding out from Saul's forces. With David are several hundred debt-ridden, troubled, homeless and rather smelly men who haven't got much in common except the hope that Israel under King David would be better than under King Saul. This story might be a little bit easier to tell outside of the cave. Wait a minute, I'll just go and find a better place to talk. Okay, that's better. Outside of the cave where David and his men were hiding, they were being pursued by Saul's army. David compares them to lions in verse 4. They are like ravenous beasts whose teeth are like spears and arrows. In verse 6, David describes how they are spreading out their net in their search for the upstart king. They spread a net for David's feet and dug a pit in his path. He is under very serious attack, and hiding in a cave is not exactly how he imagined being a king would be like. No fairy tale castles or pretty princesses for him quite yet, even though he was God's anointed king. It's significant, isn't it, that as we celebrate the 75th anniversary of victory in Europe, this country, indeed the whole world, is feeling more under attack than it has done ever since World War II. The deprivations we are facing now aren't in the same league as in the 1940s, and the deaths, though deeply distressing for those involved, aren't caused by the violence that people experienced in the past. Nevertheless, more than 30,000 people have died in the UK, and the long-term impact of coronavirus is likely to be very significant. Whilst in lockdown, we feel safe in our homes, but it's hard not to feel under attack, especially if you have to venture out and go to the supermarket, or worse, if you have to go to a hospital for any reason. So in a way, I want to draw that comparison. Imagine that we are hiding in a cave, hiding out with King David from the powerful enemies outside. And here's the first question. What is David's deepest desire as he hides in the cave? And what Psalm 57 tells us is that David's deepest desire in the midst of attack is that God should be exalted. You see, when you come to the Psalms, they were meant to be sung. In this case, to the cheery tune of Do Not Destroy, whatever that was. But they're also poetry. And when it comes to Hebrew poetry, they do things slightly different. Whereas we might look to the first line as an introduction to the theme, or to the last line as the climax, kind of summary of the theme, in Hebrew poetry, the climax is often in the middle. And the poem works outwards from the centre in concentric circles. Here, the sense of the poem is verse 5, which is a refrain in which in this psalm is helpfully repeated at the end as well, in verse 11, just in case we didn't get it the first time. Hiding from his enemies in his cave, David prays to God and says, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." Now, it seems to me that this is his deepest desire. Not palaces and castles and pretty princesses, but that God is exalted above the heavens and that his glory be over all the earth. So why is that significant for us in our caves? Because it changes David's outlook on the situation completely. It would be odd, I think, if we had never asked during the coronavirus outbreak why a loving and powerful God was allowing such death and suffering to spread throughout the world. It's a classic question, isn't it? At the best of times, but even more so during a pandemic, especially knowing that we can't expect much more. We can expect much more to come, especially amongst the poorest and most vulnerable people in developing countries where they don't have our standards of healthcare. Now, unless we can satisfy ourselves that there is an answer to that question, we can easily become angry and bitter with God, blaming him for what appears to be unreasonable and random suffering. So my purpose here is not to give a detailed answer to the question of suffering. If you're troubled by that right now, then can I recommend the book by John Piper and the seminar by Tim Keller in the resources playlist? Or if you want a lighter read and perhaps something you can share with non-Christian friends, then let me recommend the new website about living with coronavirus called www.lookforhope.org, which has many very helpful articles. But what I want to demonstrate here is that David doesn't think like that. He doesn't blame God. The power of his enemies and the desperation of his current living arrangements aren't a cause of doubt in David's mind. They are the cause of his concern for God's glory, that his invisible glory be made visible over all the earth. I'm reminded of the Hubbard's Taskmaster entry a few weeks ago about that moment in history when Galileo argued that the world was round. Because it might be helpful just to look at this drawing of the Hebrew worldview for a moment. Essentially, they did see the world as flat, but it was never meant to be a scientific description of the physical reality of creation. They were far more concerned about how God related to his creation in a spatial kind of way. So they pictured a flat world surface, and under the surface was shale, a shadowy place to where the dead descended. And above the world was the dome of the heavens, which included the sun, moon, and the stars, almost as if they were looking up to the ceiling of a cupola in one of the great cathedrals. And then above the dome of the heavens is where God was to be found. That's why he was the God Most High, and why it's such a privilege for them that he chose to make a dwelling place among them in the tabernacle that they had made and took with them when they were wandering in the wilderness. So David was desiring that God be exalted, lifted high, if you like, within that dome over the earth, so that his glory would be made visible to the very edges of the world, the ends of the earth, and seen by everyone in the world, not just by the Israelites themselves. So remember the motley crew in the cave with King David? They're there because they want to see David made king. But David most desires God to be made known to all peoples. So here we are in our coronavirus caves with our lives and our livelihoods under attack, but we're in the cave with King Jesus. Now I hope we want to make Jesus king of our lives, because like John in John 1:14, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. But Jesus' main concern, like David's, was to make God's glory known. That's why he submitted to death on the cross, in order to reconcile sinners to God. And that's why he commissioned believers to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he had commanded them in Matthew 28. You see, I'm reminded of the first question and answer of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. The question goes, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So here's a question for you to chat over during virtual coffee time today. Can we see coronavirus as a means of God's name being made known throughout the earth? Is that our first desire in all of this? Can we make it our main concern, over and above our personal concerns for our safety and our livelihood? We're going to take a break now, and we're going to sing our next song, and after that I'll come back to part two of the talk.